afternoon. Beautiful, beautiful hump day Wednesday here in central Wisconsin. Currently, partly sunny skies. Temperature stands at 42 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. I am Chad Holmes, and this is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up over the next 2 hours, got a chock full of great entertainment. At least I hope. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Sean Wright of the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation, talking about what's going on at the Grand here as we continue into the month of February. That's coming up at 2:15. And then in the second hour at 3:15, we'll be joined by Paul Micklick, talk about what's going on in Wisconsin sports. Bucks red hot, Marquette red hot, Badgers ice cold on the hardwood. And we'll talk about that and anything else that comes to mind. That's coming up at 3:15 today. Also, as it is Wednesday, that means I don't have just one show, but I have two shows. As tonight from 6 until 8 p.m., it's another edition of the Big High School Sports Show. Jeff Gress, the former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach, joins me. We talk about what's happening in boys and girls high school basketball, boys and girls high school hockey. And every week we also have a coach guest and a student athlete guest. And tonight we will be joined by Marathon girls basketball coach Jeff Schneider at 6:20. Red Raiders come off a win over Newman Catholic last night. We'll talk about the season so far for Marathon and also the playoffs coming up very, very soon in girls hoops as well. That's Jeff Schneider, the Marathon girls basketball coach at 6:20. And then we'll be joined by Wausau West boys basketball senior Cole Nelson at 7:40. Again, that's a little later than our normal student athlete interview time, but Warriors are practicing a little bit later, so we're going to wait till after practice, and then Cole Nelson will swing on by. He has been red hot recently for the Warriors, has been putting up big offensive numbers, helping Wausau West to good run here recently as they get set for a big matchup at DC Everest tomorrow night. So again, Jeff Gress and myself, big high school sports show coming up tonight from 6 until 8 p.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. During the course of today's program, in addition to our guests, we'll talk a bit about what happened last night at the State of the Union address featuring President Joe Biden and some rather childish hecklers. And again, where's the adults in the room when it comes to the GOP? I mean, it's literally like a third grade classroom where you say, the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, said, please be nice for the substitute teacher here today. And they just were not able to be nice. And again, I don't think they really showed themselves in the most favorable light last night. And also want to talk about the president being here in Wisconsin. He was here earlier this afternoon. I hope you were tuned in during As Goes Wisconsin. Had live coverage of the president in DeForest talking about his economic plan, his economic policies, his first stop after last night's State of the Union. It's, you know, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, except for Trump. I know Trump came here to central Wisconsin a couple of times to the airport in Mosinee, and for some reason, I still did not find that cool. But I think everyone else, it is actually very cool to have a president of the United States come to our state, especially come to our area. And the thing about it is, I don't think it's going to be the last time. I think, in fact, we're going to see maybe President Biden himself right here in central Wisconsin sometime in the next couple of years. I think as well we will be seeing plenty of Republican presidential candidates pay visits as well in front of the Wisconsin primary in 2024 and whoever the nominee is as well, because if there's one thing we know, they're not coming to Wisconsin because they enjoy coming to Wisconsin in the months of February and March. It's because it has become such a vital state in terms of who becomes president. Donald Trump won a very narrow election in 2016 here in this state, helped him to win the presidency. Joe Biden won a narrow election in this state in 2020, helped him win the presidency. So again, Wisconsin is going to be, I think, a major focus. I think that is good news and bad news, because that means as well we're going to get a lot of commercials coming up, starting sooner rather than later. It's right now, what, February the 8th? I'm a little surprised. I know that Trump is kind of keeping the lid on what normally would be a very busy time in terms of presidential campaign announcements by the party that's not in power. But you got to think that looking at Trump's issues, that some of the folks on the GOP side are going to say, well, I cannot wait around forever hoping that Donald Trump gets indicted at some point. I think you're going to see some folks throw their hat in the ring. Ron DeSantis hasn't really said anything, but I would be shocked if he doesn't. We heard about Nikki Haley perhaps getting set to throw her hat in the ring very, very soon. The former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, as well. So it's going to start. Usually by the summertime of this year, I mean, I think in 2019, it was during the summertime that we saw the first Democratic presidential debates. So I would not be surprised to see some Republican debates, maybe not as early as we saw in 2019, but once some of the candidates start getting involved, I think you're going to start seeing it. So that's something to keep an eye on. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and hopefully get a chance to talk to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Time is 2:15. It is Wednesday. Beautiful afternoon here in central Wisconsin. Temperatures well above normal. Snow is melting. Enjoy it. Could see some precipitation. Again, we'll have a chance to talk to Ray Miller, our meteorologist, all about that coming up at 3:06. But every other Wednesday here at 2:15, we're very happy to welcome back into studio from the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation, Sean Wright. And Sean, good to see you again.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, always like to ask how things have been since we last talked. It's been a couple of weeks. What's been going on over at the Grand? How the show's been bringing in the big crowds like they have all season long?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last week we were really thrilled to finally be able to bring World of Musicals to the Grand. That was a show originally scheduled for the 2020-2021 season that obviously did not occur.
Yeah.
And then, you know, last year, the obviously production based out of Europe, out of the west end of England. And so the producer didn't feel comfortable bringing it to the States. So it got postponed again. And we finally were able to have that show last week, and just a really, really fun night. And it was so great to see how many patrons had held on to tickets for multiple years. And, you know, it was said to me by a couple of folks, they said, boy, you know, these artists just, you know, they're so excited to be here and to be touring. And I said, yeah, because for a couple of them, this has been 3 years in the making. You know, they auditioned for this show probably in you know, the spring of 2020 before everything happened.
And that was their big break.
And then, okay, no, not this year. No, not next year. Next year, we promise we're going to go on a 50-city U.S. tour. So it finally happened. And yeah, really, really, really fun night. And then, of course, we're thrilled anytime we can have our area students in the Grand. And so the Aspirus Arts and Education Series brought Pete the Cat, which is a favorite of the pre-K to two group back to the Grand on Friday. My Katie Lang, our education director, always jokes that it's the only time she ever goes on stage to, you know, to welcome a show and introduce it, and the crowd like starts chanting for the artist like they're, you know, seeing Springsteen or something.
Right, so, right.
You know, she was like, there's intimidating, and then there's 1,000 pre-K to 2-year-olds chanting at you, Pete the Cat, Pete the Cat. She's like, okay.
That's so cool.
I was like, okay, I'm going to get off the stage now. You obviously don't want to talk to me.
Yeah, for adults, you can build the suspense.
You can build the
anticipation. Yeah, but for the kids, get right. Yeah,
exactly.
To it.
They were like, we were told there'd be a show. We've been sitting in these seats for 10 minutes. Where is that cat already? Bring him out. So,
what was your favorite for the World of Music? Which piece was your favorite personally?
You know,
is that one of those hard questions?
It's really hard. It was just such a talented group. I mean, and they brought the energy all night through. I mean, literally through like a dozen different musicals, and yeah, just really, really super, super talented cast, and it was a joy to have them here.
Have you ever been to the West End in London?
I've not been to the West End.
Oh, I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
that's one place you haven't been.
I've not.
I'm just curious because you hear it. You hear the West End.
You
just know that is like
that
it's like Broadway.
It's like Broadway.
People, people say Broadway, you know what Broadway is.
Correct.
People say West End, you know what the West. Those are basically probably the two biggest theatrical areas in the world.
They are. And the West End is actually, you know, obviously Broadway is big and everything else, but then you have so much that lives in the on-off Broadway world. The West End sort of incorporates all of that within the West End. And so it's really fascinating because you get big, obviously, Broadway productions, but then you get productions like this that grow and sort of find its niche and eventually tour. And yeah, it's always fascinating when we can, we've got a couple of shows we're looking at for next year that have limited touring windows because they're right now in the West End of London and doing well and people are in other productions. So yeah, it's a great place. Yeah, we'll have to make that trip one of these days.
Real quick, you talk about, you know, these productions that have limited windows. Do you have to compete like with offers to get these shows? I mean,
100%.
So there is the actual negotiations.
Yes.
How much, as you as the executive director, I mean, obviously you probably know how far you can go. Are you like, again, the GM, do you have like a budget cap and stuff like that?
It's a conversation on every show. Every single show, you start with the
salary cap.
You start with every show and go, okay, is this an artistically good show? That's obviously the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But then the discussion starts of, you know, can we afford it? And then obviously the windows do become an issue because you're not only competing with other venues, other markets for this show, you're also just competing with your own calendar. You know, I can tell you, for some reason, a large percentage of the touring industry decides that the perfect time to come to Wisconsin is February 1st through March 15th, which in talking to people who live here, we would tell you it's perhaps one of the worst times to come to Wisconsin. But so because of that, we joke that we could, one of these years, we could just literally be like to use the sports analogy, that we could be one of those like high school basketball classics. Mm-hmm. But instead, we could just be a show classic. Like, and at 1 p.m., the World of Musicals will be here. And then following that, at 4 p.m., the Steely Dan will be here. And then we'll wrap up the night with the 7 o'clock show from X or Y.
I imagine there are times when I'm sure you have a calendar somewhere in your office where you just slot in, okay, we got next year on February the 4th settled, and then you probably hear this wonderful show you've probably been waiting for years. Oh, we can come on February, but we're already booked.
100%. 100%. There is a date next November that right now I think I could have 5 different shows that we'd like to have here on that one date, and the problem is we already have the Tuesday prior booked, and then one of our Broadway runs starts the following week, and so you're doing like, how many shows can we fit in? And literally, but yes, that is, 100% the case. It's the puzzle is ever changing, and then obviously it changes on their end as well.
Absolutely.
You know, just this week I had a show that was perfectly routed, and then they got a larger offer, an anchor offer in a different part of the country. And so instead of coming through the Midwest in March of 2024, they're going to come through the Midwest in April of 2024. Seems simple, except our April 2024 is a little bit more congested than our March of 2024. So, it is always putting the pieces together is a challenge.
Must be great at puzzles.
Must be, exactly.
Again, we're talking to Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, as we look ahead, is there anything, what's coming up here? Anything this week, or is it till next week? Because I was looking at your calendar.
If you look at that calendar, the thing with that is it's always, we're always adding to that calendar.
The update.
Exactly. So tomorrow night, actually, a really fun show, The Boy Band Review, it will be at the Grand. And so, everything from New Kids on the Block to NSYNC to Backstreet Boys, going back to the 80s to Boys to Men, New Edition to the 2000s to Jonas Brothers, and everything in between. So just a real fun night of songs and, just pure fun. And you're going to know every song unless you've lived under a rock for the last 30 years. Because even if you don't like them, you've heard them.
Right. It's interesting. Again, it sounds similar to what you just talked about with the World of Musicals. Do you see a lot of these kind of shows where there's almost like a smorgasbord as opposed to, you have one show that's like a normal Broadway show. Is that something that's kind of big now?
Yeah, these sort of musical reviews are, you know, in some ways they come out of the Broadway tradition of musical review.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But the idea being that, you know, there's probably not enough for an NSYNC tribute show or a Backstreet Boys, but you put them together and, you know, you may have liked one more than the others, but you're going to enjoy all the songs from a similar era.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do see a bit more of that of people saying, I will say, the biggest one right now in the industry is there's a huge, the yacht rock of the 70s has sort of come back. And I mean, there are a couple of those bands who are just doing absolutely huge business, including one who is actually called Yachtly Crew, which is one of the best names I've heard.
Wonderful. Absolutely.
So that's definitely something we're seeing. So that's tomorrow night. And then Friday night, speaking of bands with great names, it's a fantastic tribute to Steely Dan, based right out of Madison, Wisconsin. Therefore, they're Steely Dane. And super talented musicians. They've won the Wisconsin Music Association Award for Best Artist a couple of times. And, you know, it's their first visit to the Grand. And so we're excited to have them. And, recreating the Steely Dan sound, which is obviously not easy.
No.
And so that's why it's about a 17-piece band.
Because I've heard the stories about Steely Dan. The number of different musicians they would have in studio to put these records together was amazing. I mean, they were basically a rotating group and it went
on the road.
And for a while there, they never went on the road. They were just in the studio and making these incredible records.
There aren't a lot where I get the emails or get copied on emails to our tech director from a sound engineer. It's like, okay, well, scratch the sambas for Friday night. We're not going to have the sambas, but we are going to add a third rhythm. And I'm like, how big is this band? So those are the next two nights at the Grand. And then, as you said, we jump into next week.
Whenever you see the words Lincoln Center, that makes people excited, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The Jazz at Lincoln Center presents Songs We Love. It's a musical journey through the sort of first six decades of jazz through the American Songbook. So these are, you know, the songs from Judy Garland and Frank Sinatra and you know, the things that you don't think of in the top of your mind as jazz, but they are, and they're standards and they're influenced by jazz musicians. And these are the next generations of Jazz at Lincoln Center stars. I mean, if you name the 10, 20 biggest names in jazz today, they all started in the Jazz at Lincoln Center Presents group. And so we're very, very excited at that show. Perfect evening to come out and enjoy just absolutely amazing music.
And when you think about the Grand, you don't really think about acrobats, but you got some acrobats coming
in.
Are they going to be touching the ceiling?
They basically will be, yes. The Peking Acrobats making their first trip here, and we're so excited about that. Our school show that morning is basically sold out, and we have a evening show that has only about 100 tickets left, and so talented, and they've got the Shanghai Circus with them, and just not only the acrobats amazing, it's a great evening of cultural immersion, and we're really excited to have that show.
It always seems like when you come in, you just have a few tickets remaining. That must be just always so much fun where it's so much fun saying, boy, we got to get rid of 1,000 tickets or whatever.
It is. Yeah, there are some of those, but it's
an amazing season in that respect. Boy, I mean, it must feel good because it means that you are choosing in a good way, and also, of course, the support. But at the same time, you must feel like, man, you're at the table here, and you're on a run.
it's been good. You know, everybody does this, says, you know, booking shows is a form of legalized gambling in all 50 states,
right.
And so we are. But yeah, the response has been great. People are buying tickets. We're excited to have a great mix of you know, shows for the family, shows for girls' night out, shows for, you know, the arts lover, shows for the classic rock lover. So a lot still to come. But yeah, it's been a good run as we've had. Especially here into 2023.
And if folks want to get those few tickets that are remaining for these shows in the next couple of weeks, what do they have to do?
Easiest way to do that is visit grandtheater.org, or, you know, it's a beautiful day. Stop by, get outside, and stop by our box office in downtown Wausau.
Downtown, grab a bite to eat, and stop by the Grand Theater box office and get some of those tickets.
Definitely.
Sean, again, thank you very much for popping on in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That's Sean Wright, again, Executive Director of the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation. So many terrific shows coming up at the Grand. We're always happy to have Sean come in here every other Wednesday to join us. Well, coming up, we will find out what's going on news-wise, of course, the CBS News Update, and then also a news update from our Civic Media newsroom as well. I'm Chad Holmes. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. On Thursday night, the Wausau West High School hockey team wraps up their regular season on the road, taking on Nina Hortonville Menasha. Hear all the action live on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Hockey on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club, Four Seasons Go, Sun Printing, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Wausau West Athletic Department, and the Wausau West Hockey Senior Class Parents. It's Wausau West at Nina Hortonville Menasha in high school hockey. Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. On your home for Wausau West sports, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation for joining us. Always fantastic to hear about the shows, and very lucky in my youth to be able to be involved in some theatrical production. In fact, 32 years ago this week, was involved in my first theatrical production, and still remains with me as one of the most memorable and thrilling moments of my life to be part of that. So again, I think if you have a chance to experience the magic of live performance, boy, can't go much better than the Grand Theater, but not just that. Go to local high schools. Go to the universities, UWSP, UWSP at Wausau. Be involved in the audience or community theater. Be involved on the stage as well. So, again, it's always great to hear what's happening over at the Grand and the PAF with Sean. He joins us each and every other Wednesday from at 2:15 p.m. here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, again, it's been interesting, less than 24 hours. The President of the United States gave his State of the Union last night and then got on Air Force One, came to DeForest in the Madison area. And in fact, in the last, hour and a half, he was on stage speaking to union workers in DeForest. And that's one of the things. There's so many common sense aspects to what he talks about. And something I try to talk about as much as I can is let's get things done. And I think we saw again last night, it's all this garbage of, things that have no impact on people's lives that the Republicans try to push. This idea of drag shows. I mean, what the heck? Where does freedom start and freedom end for Republicans? They talk about freedom and the idea that they're trying to ban drag shows. That hurts people. There are people that, perform for a living, and they're trying to make that out into something that's evil. And when you hear the president, I thought during his speech today, we'll talk about the State of the Union in a moment, but the speech today, talking about getting rid of those junk fees that credit cards and others put on your bills. Boy, the idea that, and he made an example of somebody, I think, on Fox News saying, why is the president talking about that? Well, because I've been there, and I bet you've been there as well, where you see on your bill, oh, doggone it, I forgot to pay my credit card billed on time, and they give you this out. Then there'll be an overdraft fee and then a late fee. And I mean, there'll be multiple fees on there that add up to a significant amount of money. And if he's able to clean that up, that would affect millions and millions of people. And I was glad to hear him talk about it again today during his speech in DeForest. Again, just common sense stuff. And I think stuff that the people of the United States and the people of Wisconsin do appreciate. And before we talk, again, my mind starts rambling a little bit before we talk about what happened last night. Yesterday, I was talking about this disconnect in terms of some of the polling that's put out there about how, despite unemployment being historically low, despite Americans doing personally okay economically, they say that, hey, things are going well personally, but yet they say, oh, things are going terribly in the country. I was thinking about that after the show yesterday. And I think one reason that we have this disconnect, maybe now that we did not have for much of this country's history when it comes to somebody saying, hey, things are going well within our family. Things are going well within my community or within my state. But yet, oh, things are going terribly elsewhere. It's because hour after hour, day after day, night after night, you have people like whoever's on now replacing Rush Limbaugh on the radio. The Sean Hannity's being on for 3 hours over on WSAU right now. If you turn on WSAU right now, you could hear Sean Hannity, I'm sure, just railing on something or another concerning the president and the State of the Union. And then you have hour after hour of guys like Tucker Carlson on Fox TV News. And they keep telling you this over and over and over again. If you're one of those people that watches that and listens to that hour after hour, day after day, even if things are going well in your life, even if things are going well within your household, even if things are going well with your community, they're telling you things are terrible. You're going to believe they're terrible. And then you have the internet. You can go on there, and if you're somebody that follows certain people and they're going to tell you every day things are going terribly, you're going to think things are going terribly, even though things are going well in your life. Again, I don't know. I think in some ways the technology evolution has really hurt Americans in so many different ways because, yeah, you're getting more information, but sometimes you're getting more bad information. Bad info in, bad info out, right? Something about last night that I think needs to be said as well, and I saw this wonderful editorial today titled, "The Night the Old Man Handed Them Their Asses." It says, and it also says, we'll talk about Bidenism the way we talked about Reaganism. You know, and it starts off, and I think this is such a perfect way to start, because one thing, again, about if you go online, if you go onto social media, one thing Republicans try to tell you over and over and over again, and again, if people are told this, and you're somehow predisposed to listen to some of these people, they're going to believe it. And one thing that the right-wing echo chamber has been saying for the last 2 years is Joe Biden is too old. Joe Biden has lost a step. Well, last night, if he's lost a step, where does that put the Republicans? And this article started, and again, I just loved what I read. I wanted to share it a little bit with you. It says, I don't want to hear any more bollocks. You heard me about the president being too old to reelect. If the man can walk, he can run. If he can do a lot more than walk, he can flip the way we understand ourselves in our country. He said, I exaggerate some. Joe Biden's State of the Union address last night reflected, in terms of policy and politics, a reversal of the last 40 years. And I've said this for more than 40 years, and we're getting up close to 45 years, this trickle-down conservative idea of how America should work. And we have example after example after example of how it's not working. We have, number one example, this incredible gap between the wealthiest and everybody else that should not be there. And you have so many other economic statistics that show that trickle-down does not trickle down at all. Just trickles down your leg. That's it. But, again, this is from editorialboard.com. With a single speech, he swapped hot rocks fascism for stone-cold liberalism. The reversal will take time to finish, as the last reversal took time. America's transition from demand-side economics to supply-side economics dragged on over several presidencies, only coming to completion with Bill Clinton. But make no mistake, that reversal, rooted in chaos and crisis, is well underway. Everything the Republicans say they are for the working class is what this president has become. Trump said he stood for the working man, quote, while making it clear that the working man was white. Biden stands for the working man, but makes clear the working man is anyone who works. For Trump, real Americans were straight Christian and male. For Biden, real Americans are real Americans. Don't let the commentariat fool you into believing Biden was just doing what Trump did, only better, with policy backing up his words. When it comes to Made in America and domestic nation building, Trump is an imitator. Biden is the original gangster. Over and over last night, the president said that he and the Congress need to get the job done. The job meant a lot of things, from banning assault weapons to codifying Roe to raising taxes on the very obscenely rich. But the impression left by the recurring theme was surely recognized by New Dealer scholars. New Deal scholars. I love the fact that you're tying that this editorial, again, editorialboard.com, this story, tying what Joe Biden is trying to accomplish to what FDR tried to accomplish. And also, I would say, what LBJ tried to accomplish before he got off the road towards Vietnam, his domestic policy accomplishments. The takeaway from the 1929 crash was that trickle-down economics nearly took the guts out of America. Even if Franklin Roosevelt, who came from Manhattan aristocrats, had wanted to keep the status quo, he couldn't. Crisis forced his hand. So he and the Democrats, to prevent the wholesale loss of faith in democracy and capitalism, decided to flip the previous 40 years. And that's something that I think we had an opportunity, actually, going back to 2008-2009. And the thing that occurred in the Great Recession is that we did not take advantage of a crisis to turn things around, to flip things around. Because things did not go as bad as they could have gone because of the way that Obama was able to actually keep this country from completely going down into a ditch full of water. We went into a ditch, but Obama got us out of the ditch with as little pain as possible. And plus, there was this, what we call the Tea Partiers, who basically allowed everybody to take their eye off the ball. And the ball being that the Republicans of George W. Bush and the policies of trickle-down had put us into a huge, huge ditch. But instead, these Tea Party patriots, as they like to call themselves, led by people like Meg Ellison, allowed the Republicans to, instead of having a true revolution in terms of the way that the economic policy of this country worked, they actually were able to kick that can down the road for another decade. The thing about it is, Ronald Reagan, starting in 1980 when he was elected, going through both Bushes, going through Newt Gingrich, going through Paul Ryan, and all these other Republicans over the past four decades have not been on the people's side. They've been on the rich people's side. Joe Biden is trying to put the U.S. government back on the people's side, trying to set it up against economic royalists. You go back to what FDR said. He said, they are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred. I think last night we heard, as this story talked about, the echoes of FDR's bring it on attitude. Because you heard the chirping of Marjorie Taylor Greene and other Republicans, and Biden basically, and I heard this term used quite a bit today, rope-a-doped. Rope-a-dope was what Muhammad Ali would do against George Foreman. Take their shots and then come back and put them on their back. And Biden took their shots and he put them on their back. Joe Biden, I thought, was fantastic in terms of letting America see what the Republicans really were about. It's not going to be easy. And I'm not as far ahead as maybe this article is about completely turning around trickle down, because the only way we're going to truly turn trickle down on its head is not only for Biden to have this term, but to have another term, and then a Democrat have a third term. Because that's where the conservatives actually started this. They had two Reagan terms and a George Bush term. That was the foundation for 40-plus years of trickle-down. I have more on this, but we have to take a quick time out. We'll come back in 2 minutes to have more on this here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. On Friday night, the Marathon High School boys basketball team looks to continue their push towards a Marrowwood Conference South Division Championship. The Red Raiders will play host to Phillips. Hear the action on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa, starting with the pregame show at 6:50. Marathon High School basketball on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Cloverbell Credit Union, Sun Printing, the Dirks Group, Brickner's of Little Chicago, Fisher Transportation, Four Seasons Screen Printing, County Materials, Twin Forest Product, the Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Cheese, Marathon City Sports Center, Marathon Family Dentistry, Marathon Park City, Mark's Chiropractic, and People's State Bank. It's Marathon taking on Phillips in high school boys basketball. Friday night, starting with pregame show at 6:50 and the opening tip at 7:15. On your home for Marathon High School Sports, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Talking a bit generally about topics around the State of the Union last night. And I think trying to put an umbrella on what Bidenism may be. And I think one thing is to try to kill trickle-down economics. Trickle-down economics has been basically the economic principle of this country for more than 40 years. And I can say that Republicans, Democrats, I mean, you can talk about, when Democrats come in, they make changes with the tax policy, but then Republicans come in and cut deeper for the wealthy than Democrats have ever lifted. When George W. Bush gave an incredibly huge tax cut to the wealthy in 2001, before 9/11, that busted up the deficit in this country. In his first year, Donald Trump passed a massive tax bill that benefited the wealthy. And Joe Biden has been talking about this. Last year, he had a sit down with the Associated Press. And this is what he said about trickle down. I'm not a big believer in trickle down economy. And so everything I look at from the time I took this office, but even before that, when I was a senator all those years, is what's the best shot to grow the economy from the bottom up and the middle out? Because when that happens, everybody does well. The wealthy do very, very well. And the biggest thing I think that when I came into this job that I have the greatest frustration with the last 4 years is that everything was constructed and built and arranged in order for the top 1% to 3% of the population to do very well. The rest was sort of, I mean that literally, everything else seemed to be an afterthought. And that's the thing that is incredible, that 70-plus million people voted for Donald Trump when his policies were basically straight out of the book for the wealthy, for himself, for people like himself. So Joe Biden is trying through his policies to change the dynamic economically of this country. But it is exceptionally difficult to do that with all the economic power that is aligned against a certain change like that. Yeah. in a key moment last night, according to this outstanding article on editorialboard.com. Again, if you have a chance, I would encourage you to go see it. It says, in a key moment last night, said as a merely a variation on a theme of blue-collar revival, Biden killed two birds. He drained away what's left of neoliberalism, the idea that government should be hands-off markets that they know best, as well as what's left of a left that has squalled for years for greater government involvement in the economy. He said, capitalism without competition is not capitalism, it's extortion. It's exploitation. So, exactly. The thing about saying that government is on your side is that it's risky. It is. It's very risky to say government is on your side because we have, as I said earlier, hour after hour, day after day, people listening to voices such as Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity who say the exact opposite. These people listen to them. Biden showed he is very much on top of what is the ultimate. And again, this is, I think, this goes deeper than what many people actually think about. And it's understandable. People think about day-to-day how their economic conditions are. But for true change to occur, we have to rip out from the roots. And it's very thick, deep roots right now, going back to 1980, this whole idea of supply-side economics and trickle-down theory. And that's why I said before the break, this is not something that can be done easily or over a short period of time. Democrats have to be able to maintain some semblance of power within government, or else we're going to get another Republican who in their first year in office is going to put through another major tax bill that solidifies this whole idea of trickle-down. Give the wealthy another huge, huge gash of a tax cut, and then hope that somehow it trickles down to the rest of the people when we have decade after decade of evidence it truly does not. So, again, it's the hard part for Democrats is all of this is not as simple as what Republicans put out. You have, I think there's one thing we can all agree on. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Marjorie, whatever, Marjorie Taylor Greene is not a deep thinker, but she is the middle of the Republican Party these days. And they're going to be very simple and simplistic in their criticisms of the president. While we try to put out policies that may not be as simple, but actually do help the great majority of the people of this country. Coming up, we will find out, again, reaction from the State of the Union. Reaction as Biden goes on the road, started in Wisconsin, goes off to Florida next with CBS News at the top of the hour. We will also have, again, look at state and local news from the Civic Media Newsroom as well. At 3:06, we'll be talking to Ray Miller. How long is this warm, warm weather going to continue? We'll talk to Ray coming up. At 3:15, we'll lighten things up a little bit and talk about sports. Wisconsin sports, to be specific. I'll be joined by Paul Michalik here in studio. Glad you could join me here on this Wednesday, Hump Day Wednesday. We are heading downhill towards the weekend. Chad Holmes Show on Full Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. FullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.